Joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon is artist Mare Martin. Her work is at the Acadiana Center for the Arts, currently in the Malia Gallery, which is upstairs. It's called Individual Natures, and it's a collection of paintings, prints, and drawings that will be up through the next Art Walk in November, and then actually at the ACA through November 22nd. So we'll have an opportunity at the Art Walk, or if you can't go at that time, you can see it through November 22nd. Now, Mare, I know people have admired your work for many years. So much of it has to do with the flora of Louisiana, in particular South Louisiana. But let's talk about your full history as an artist. You've lived many other places than South Louisiana, although you're from here.
Yes, yes.
So tell us just a bit about your development as an artist. Did you major in art as a
Yes,
student?
I have a bachelor's, a fine arts degree from UL, and I attended graduate school and also did a summer school at Haystack School of Art in Maine. And I've traveled to Spain and Morocco, Montreal, lived in New Mexico for a while, and really did a lot of artwork in all these places mm-hmm. when I was there.
Did you get your graduate degree here at the university?
No, just a Bachelor of Fine Arts
okay.
here.
And you went to Maine for your graduate program?
No, I didn't get a graduate degree. Mm-hmm. I just attended for a year in Cardiff, Wales, which was at the time, a very good school, art school.
Mm-hmm. Now, were you always interested in painting or many different forms?
I've been interested in art all my life mm-hmm. since, you know, the proverbial... since I was a small...
Since they put a paintbrush
four.
In your hand.
Yeah, yeah. So I never had any doubts about it. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't have this indecision about what I wanted to be. The only thing that happened to me along the way is that I got interested in gardening because I was raised on a farm. And that led to some kind of dichotomy, but also some kind of a problem of which one to do at certain times. Mm-hmm. And I decided to use both of them and just overlap them in some way so that I could have the benefit of both.
Mm-hmm. To incorporate both of your passions.
Right. So what I was really doing is using my left brain for more scientific work and then mm-hmm. the right brain for the creative work.
And now they're finally together again.
Yeah, yeah.
So over the years in your art world, was painting your primary medium always?
Painting and printmaking.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what is your feeling about both of those mediums? Do you find you go to one or the other for different subjects, or do you use them equally to explore?
That's a good question. When I lived in New Mexico, I found color. And before that, I was mainly doing drawings and not monochromatic, not so much color. But once I found color, then that whole world opened to me, and that got me really interested in painting. And just recently, I've returned to printmaking in the last 3 years, and I'm doing more of that. But those mm-hmm. two disciplines are my favorite, and it's the line that I love the most. And the printmaking gives me the line, and the painting gives me the color and the form. So,
now, what was it about New Mexico that really intrigued you about color? Because obviously in South Louisiana, it's very colorful.
Everything's
place
green mm-hmm. here, okay. yeah, and everything's not green there. Well, the soils are all colored. The mountains are colored. They're all different. So the whole gamut of the whole color wheel is there. And the sky is so incredibly clear, and the weather's so good that color just screams out at you and begs you to capture it and use it.
Yeah. And I've heard other people say that too, is the air is so clear that colors are so distinct there.
Right,
we often have a haze here.
You look at the Indian art and you can see how they use it and you can't help but not use it if you're an artist and you live in New Mexico.
Right. Well, and obviously other artists have felt that way as well. I mean, obviously Georgia O'Keefe
very attractive. She was that made her mm-hmm, that mm-hmm. that when she moved there, She did the same thing. Mm-hmm. You don't have to, the color is actually there. You don't have to make it more brilliant. You just paint whatever you see, and that's what color is there.
Well, what happened to your sense of nature when you moved to New Mexico? We think of that as a much more arid place, dry.
Well,
how did your sense of nature and gardening develop there?
I moved to a little town in northern New Mexico, in between Taos and Santa Fe, which was the best art community in the whole state. They have a famous tour, and there are a lot of artists working, craftspeople and fine artists. And it was in the middle of a huge irrigation system and fruit trees and wineries.
So it was very fertile there.
So it was very fertile. Mm-hmm. Two rivers in the same area meandering in between each other. So I sort of moved to the same kind of a place that I was in before.
Mm-hmm. So it's not the desert that we might think of.
Not where I was living. No,
where you were.
No.
So
no.
Did you have a personal garden in New Mexico?
Oh, I've always had gardens much as I can. The only thing different in New Mexico is you can't garden all year, which helps you.
Then you have time to go in the studio and paint,
yeah,
I guess.
That's, yeah. Yeah.
What kinds of things did you grow in your garden there?
The same kinds of things, because it was the water was there, so I didn't have to stick to things that like dryness, or and the soil was pretty much the same. Mm-hmm. So and I have the skill of knowing what to do, how to grow it, so I had no problems.
You did. Now, when you were living in New Mexico, were you beginning to incorporate those two sides of your brain and paint what was in your garden?
Yes, and I added stones, which we don't have here. I did a lot of work with stones and plants, so that was new to my
incorporating stones into your garden and into your paintings.
Yeah, right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I was very excited about stones because gravel is what we have here.
Right. Not much bigger than those tiny river stones.
Yeah. Yeah, well, so that was different.
Now, I know you like to grow fruit trees. Were you growing those in your garden there as well?
Well, there are wild fruit trees that grow along the irrigation ditches. Mm-hmm, so you don't really need to grow them. You just need to go find them and pick them. So that was easy.
Well, how long were you in New Mexico?
12 years.
And what were your feelings on returning to Louisiana and the climate and the greenness of Louisiana?
I guess I was ready for a change. Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful there that it's almost too beautiful to stand it.
That's an interesting problem to have.
Yeah, yeah. So I was, I came back and I was happy to be home. And
something
I just,
more restful, perhaps. Yeah, the greenness.
Right, yeah, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was, I didn't regret leaving. It was time. Mm-hmm. And I like where I am now.
Well, tell us about your situation now, where you live and work now.
I have a small studio, and my garden is right outside my studio window so that I can interact with visually with what I'm working with and also what's outside. And if I get tired painting or working in the studio, I just open the door and I go out and do a little gardening or drawings. The main thing... The main way that I connect the two disciplines is with drawing. I draw in order to learn more about the plants that I'm growing, and I draw to also do studies for the paintings that I'm going to do later. So it's a perfect situation, and I don't have to move or go anywhere. I just keep whatever's in my garden, I use that. Like I told you before, it's local art.
It's very local and quite local for you. Isn't that your family's property?
Yes.
Did you grow up on
it's
this property?
It's a farm that I grew up on.
So you feel very rooted to this place.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of good experiences are still there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some people would wonder, what can you continue to learn from one small space? So many people travel and go other places for stimulating experiences and new views of the world. What is your take on that?
Well, my take is that instead of going out into the world, I am going into the phenomena of the plants. When I draw, I have a system where I tell myself, everything is important. And so I draw everything that's important. And then I find out that I've missed something. And so this gives me a deeper insight into just the thing that's in front of me. Instead of leaving to go somewhere else for something exotic, I go deeper into the plant, and I can record this through drawings, how much better my seeing is, and how much better my senses are by doing that with an individual plant. And that's the name of my show, is Individual Natures, because what I'm doing is actually like portraits of plants. But I'm working from the living plant, the dynamic of the living plant.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So when I found out that I can just stay in one place and go deeper and deeper into it, then that was a real revelation to me, that I was never going to be at a place where there was a stopping point, that I knew everything. And when you go into the plant like that, the plant gives you back something. It gives you knowledge, actually, because you're learning, you're thinking with the plant, you're learning about what you're looking at. And the plant gives you, it gives you imagination, it gives you inspiration. So I have everything I need right there in the garden.
Something we should all learn to do at our own homes and yards.
Well,
and gardens.
I do offer classes in that method, mm-hmm, which I call sustained intimacy.
Sustained intimacy. And that is beautiful.
Thank you. It's about getting in touch with an individual plant, drawing it sequentially over a time, over days or hours or minutes. And learning from that experience.
And you're also talking about this kind of sustained intimacy on a place you've lived and known for since you were born, that you grew
up.
So
it's very sustained.
It's very sustained, yes. And, yeah, and you still find surprises and things to interest you in these surroundings.
I think there's so many diversions in the world that, mm-hmm, for me, as an older person, I have all this baggage, so I think I feel like it's time to sort of go into one place for a while.
But a place that continually surprises you and
inspires
you.
Oh, yeah, the surprises are the best part.
Well, let's talk about some of those plants that are in your yard. And I want to tell people who are just tuning in, my guest is artist Mare Martin. She has an exhibit in the Malia Gallery of the Acadiana Center for the Arts. It's on display now and will be up through November 22nd, which comprises the next art walk as well. The Malia Gallery is upstairs, and there are about 14 pieces in the exhibit of paintings, prints, and drawings. So you have paintings, prints, and drawings that you've done in your yard, very local, of some of these plants. So let's talk about some of them. You have one here that actually was done fairly recently called Deciduous Evergreen, and it's two trees that are in your yard.
A bay laurel and a red oak. And what I do is they're I'm intimate with them, so I've watched them grow from when they were smaller. And now, since one stays green all the time, it's sort of a comparative thing with the one that starts to drop its leaves. So it's a dynamic. And a lot of people don't notice that. I mean, it's to me, it's a phenomenal event. I mean, people like to see falling leaves and the colors of the leaves, but for me, the falling part is mm-hmm, is the surprise.
So many of us are so casual and quick about
right,
the way we observe
right,
plants.
Yeah, yeah. So mm-hmm, I'm trying to make my senses more acute and mm-hmm, and notice things mm-hmm, as much as I can. To
And the drawing helps you notice those.
The drawing proves what I'm seeing. See, so it's not like I'm out taking photographs mm-hmm, and just snapping in a second. I'm being with the plant for long periods of time. Sometimes I'll stay with a drawing. I'll do it every day for an hour for like
the same
10
drawing.
Days. Yeah, the mm-hmm, same. Mm-hmm. No, different
sketches.
Different sketches, but sequentially. So I can see the tiny little increments of growth that it has. And I can learn from that.
And again, the line, and even if you were photographing it, there would be a quickness there that wouldn't really.
And it's hard to photograph with shadows, mm-hmm, with the drawings, you see very clearly what's happening.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure some people are wondering how many sketchbooks you have.
Well, I have an awful lot of plant drawings. I don't know what I'm going to do with them, but yeah.
So this one, Deciduous Evergreen, that's the title, and it's a bay laurel and a red oak. This is in the exhibit as well.
Yes, it's as you walk up the stairs to the right of the desk. It's not exactly in the exhibition, but it's big enough for you to see. Yeah.
What other kinds of trees and shrubs do you have in your yard?
Well, I have all the usual vegetables that I grow to cook. I love to cook. Mm-hmm. And so actually what happens is I grow them from seed. I draw them and paint them, and then I harvest them, and then I eat them, and then I replant them. So some of them I've been drawing for several generations.
Drawing their progeny.
Here's my sustained intimacy again with over several generations of plants, of annual plants. Yeah, so it's cyclical. The whole thing is cyclical. I'm trying to get closer and closer and closer to the...
Have you ever thought of doing kind of an art cookbook? With your
yes.
Drawing those generations and then also including some of the ways
always
you consume them.
Right, yeah. So other plants are that are in there are cotton, which is one of the most exciting plants you can imagine, not only its form, but its function, its importance to us as human beings. Mm-hmm. It's immense, this importance.
And do you have both the white and brown cotton?
No. I just have, I don't know where it came from. I mean, I don't know the background of it. I found it in a field in Fourdouche, the plant. Mm-hmm. And then, and it's very strange. It's got yellow blossoms and pink blossoms on the same stem. So it's very strange and very powerful, a very powerful plant. And I have endive is one of the paintings. Eggplant I've done many, many, many times because it's so elegant and so beautiful. The plant itself, not to mention the fruit.
With the fruit.
And
now you've mentioned that word. You use the word powerful about the cotton plant, and you use that in describing. I have an image here of one of the other paintings in the exhibit called Medicinal Herbs, and you use that word powerful with this painting as well.
Yes, I wanted to, in my imagination, I wanted to show some kind of form around the plant that would give you the feeling of power. And that's what you'll see when you look at this painting. And it's of a sage, which is a very, very important medicinal herb.
What is it used for? Many things, I think. I've seen descriptions of it.
I'm not going there because I want to be sure that I'm correct about it. And there's so many wrong things in these herbal books that I drew it because it was not to cure with it, but because I thought it was a very powerful plant. So,
well, and just the scent itself, I think people find that very...
The culinary use of it, too, which is also medicinal.
Right. And, of course, the color is very powerful. Many of us talk about that color. We call things sage.
Yeah, it's a wonderful blend of blues and greens. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So that's one of the paintings in the exhibit. How large would
that
this
one
be?
Is 3 by 3 feet. And there's one larger. It's a little bit larger than 5 by 3. It's called Gold Moon Garden, and it's a garden that I had in New Mexico in the moonlight. So it's sort of like the garden is connected to the moon.
So
in a way,
you observe your plants at nighttime as well.
Yes, yes.
Do you?
I do a lot of walking around at night.
Do you find you ever draw the plants as they are at nighttime? Is there any change that you notice?
No, it's hard to see at night. So
I imagine you have a candle out there.
I do. Yeah, with in the full moonlight, is, you know, emotionally with feeling, the feeling part of that is very nice to walk out and see the plant in the moonlight.
Now tell us about your studio and how it's situated within this space you're talking about with all of these plants. Can you see outside in your studio?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. I have windows on the back part of my studio that look out on the garden. I live in a sort of a compound my two sisters live in a large house next to my studio, and we have a kind of a deck between dog trot situation, and it's 2 acres. We have chickens, and that's the last part of the farm, and a lot of grass to mow.
A lot of green, as you said, about Louisiana.
Yeah, a lot of fruit trees and pecan trees. Yeah. And
so when you look out of your studio window, what do you see in that sweep? Describe that scene.
I see a bamboo fence around the garden, and rows of vegetables and flowers, and then fruit trees on the side. Mm-hmm. And just everything that you might find in a garden. I'm not just a flower person. I'm a functional gardener. And I use biodynamic methods and organic methods. So it's a little bit more than just the usual.
Right. Now, you mentioned that you go outside to draw the plants. Do you bring a seat out and sit with the plants?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I have different kinds of seats that go high and low. Mm-hmm. I use an umbrella usually, unless the weather's really cloudy, and work with a sketchbook on my lap, and then I find that when I'm working, I don't feel anything. I'm totally in the moment, which is another exciting thing about doing the drawings. So it's uncomfortable sometimes when it's really hot, but once I start a drawing, I pretty much have to finish it, finish what I'm working on anyway.
Now, you said you take these drawings back, and it's that translation from those observations of the plants to the finished paintings that you do. Do you ever bring any of the plants inside to draw and paint them?
Yes, I do. If they're small enough, and I do draw directly from the paint, directly from the plant outside. I will just take the wet canvas and usually I cover the canvas with paint and then incise the outline of it to start with, just to make that connection with the plant. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the plants that are in the show are done like that. In fact, the deciduous and evergreen was not done like that.
So started outside, actually.
Right.
You didn't just bring the notebooks inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you ever do what people call still lifes? I know you have fruit and vegetables. Do you ever do that?
Well, when you say still life, that usually means dead life or
picked
animal.
Fruit and
no, I don't. I don't. Just because I find it very hard to do nature better than I don't do realism. I don't try to catch the beauty in a realistic manner. I'm more after the essence of it. Mm-hmm. So
and that growing essence. That
so
sustained.
The growing part, the growing thing is the essence is not there anymore after you pick it. Mm-hmm. It's it's faint. It's fainting.
It's faint. Now, we've been talking about mostly plants. You do have one piece in the exhibit that has an intimation of a creature from South Louisiana, and it is that lovely little crawfish castle.
That farm has so many names. Castle, chimney, house. It intrigues me. Because I've actually gone out into the field at night and watched the crawfish building it.
I'm sure many people have never seen that.
And it is quite an experience. It's the most wonderful thing you can, comparatively. They don't mind having a flashlight shown on them. And
they continue working.
They continue working. It's kind of creepy sometimes because they come out of the hole.
With their little claws.
Yeah, yeah. So I've done a lot of these crawfish chimneys.
And you call them chimneys,
probably. Yeah, that's what I called it when I was a child. It was a chimney, so it kind of stuck.
And you have lots of them in your yard?
I have a field next door, a 5-acre field that is just covered with them. So it's they're there for my
And
my
is
youth.
That is that one of the few residual animal prints that you paint, or do you draw other
I'm pretty much plants. Stuck on plants, and it's the structure of
the
this
structure.
That is so enticing for me, the form. The form and the building of the form is just a wondrous thing.
Yeah. And you have it in a field of grass.
And it makes me kind of angry that some people have never seen one who live here or don't know what they are. So that's why I paint them, to sort of bring that
Let people know. Yeah. I think they were much more prominent years ago. There seemed to be fewer fields around.
They don't come up too much in people's yards.
Right, right. I want to tell people who might just be tuning in, my guest has been Mare Martin. She is an artist. Her exhibit, Individual Natures, an exhibition of paintings, prints, and drawings, is on display at the Acadiana Center for the Arts in the Malia Gallery. It will be up through November 22nd. And the painting that we spoke about, the medicinal herb painting, is one of the older paintings in the exhibit, but many of them are recent.
Most of them are recent,
And what are you drawing right now? What's in your garden right now that is of interest, that holds your sustained interest right now?
I'm working on some prints of stones now. Yes, I'm working on a book that's going to be published through Brighton Press in San Diego. And so I'm back to stones and water.
And
so that's what I'm doing right now.
Are these stones that you brought back from New Mexico, or where did you get these
stones?
Well,
I go every year to print in the little town that I lived in. And this year I went in August and collected the stones since I got this commission, and brought some of them back. And now I'm working on these prints. So that's what I'm doing right now.
And what is your interest in the stones? When you talk about the plants, there's so much about relationships and growth and life and sustained intimacy, as you call it. What is it with the stones that interests
you? The stones give you they open you up in meditating with the stone. They open you up to your imagination and to the forces that form them. So I believe that the thing itself is what gives you your thoughts. You don't make, or I don't make, these thoughts. They come from the thing. So if I just sit with the thing, it will give me new thoughts and new impressions and new imaginations. So that is one of the reasons that I love the stones, and also they're so archaic, they're so old. They have so much memory. If you can imagine what memory a stone could have, then it's
definitely something to meditate on. I think you've inspired many people this time we've had here to do many things, to garden, to sit, to observe.
I hope so.
And open their imaginations up. One way people can do that is to see your exhibit now, which is at the ACA through November 22nd. And perhaps when you have finished the Stones book, you might have an exhibit here in Lafayette.
Well, I hope so.
And we could see that as well.
Yeah.
Well, Mare, thank you so much for coming and telling us about your work and how you work and inspiring all of us to observe a little more carefully around us.
Well.
Again, Mare Martin, her exhibit is at the Acadiana Center for the Arts now through November 22nd. Thank you so much.
Thank you.